Hello and welcome to the IDEA State Complaint Resource Center podcast series. Today is Thursday, February 11, 2021, and this is Candace Cordiella, Director at the Advocacy Institute. The IDEA State Complaint Resource Center is a project of the Advocacy Institute. It is designed to provide information and resources to assist parents and advocates in navigating the complaint process with a particular focus on systemic compliance issues. We're talking today with Alexis de la Cruz, attorney at the Native American Disability Law Center, which is located in Farmington, New Mexico, beautiful New Mexico. The Native American Disability Law Center filed an IDEA state complaint in October of 2020 against the Bloomfield School District in Bloomfield, New Mexico, on behalf of all students with disabilities with IEPs in the district. We are very pleased to have Alexis joining us today to discuss this complaint. Alexis, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Candace, so much for having me. It's really an honor and a privilege to be here today with you talking about this important determination that we obtained on behalf of students here in Bloomfield, New Mexico.
Thanks. So before we get into the meat of your complaint, let's begin by having you give our listeners just a quick overview of your agency and its mission.
Certainly. As you mentioned, I am an attorney at the Native American Disability Law Center, and we have offices in Farmington, New Mexico, as well as Flagstaff, Arizona. And we are a part of the federal protection and advocacy system. However, we are unique in that we are the only Native American protection and advocacy agency in the entire country. So we are serving Native communities here in the Four Corners region of the Southwest, and those communities are located in Colorado, Utah, Arizona, as well as New Mexico. So we provide free legal services to Native Americans with disabilities. I have the great honor and privilege of working with Native American students with disabilities and their families in addressing educational issues in the public school systems, as well as the Federal Bureau of Indian Education school system. And you can learn more about the work that the Law Center does, our mission, and some of our important cases at nativedisabilitylaw.org.
Great. Okay, and we have through the course of our work at the State Complaint Resource Center, we have done several podcasts with other PNA attorneys who have filed systemic complaints, and we have several others listed in our complaint data bank that we provide on the site. So there is, to just reiterate your point, there's a PNA, protection advocacy, in every state, as well as your agency, which serves the Native American population. So the contact information for all of the PNAs can be found at the website of the National Disability Rights Network, which is www.ndrn.org. And there's a link to Alexis' agency along with her complaint and state investigation report, which we're now going to start to talk about. So can you tell us what led your agency's involvement in the matter of services to students with IEPs in the Bloomfield School District?
Sure. Thank you, Candace. So like every student and parent and educator across the country, our families here in Northwest New Mexico and the entire client community we serve were impacted by the school closures that resulted from the COVID-19 public health emergency in March of 2020. Our law firm, in addition to representing Native American students with disabilities in special education cases, also has a contract with the state of New Mexico to represent Native American students who are involved in state abuse and neglect proceedings. And much of our representation of those students is pursuant to the Indian Child Welfare Act. But we also, in the context of our role representing those children who are in the state abuse and neglect system. We also are involved in any education advocacy that they might require. So we became concerned about three of our clients that we were representing through the state abuse and neglect system around March of 2020 after the schools had shuttered their doors, because we were learning that the Bloomfield School District was taking a unilateral approach to reducing the number of special education and related service minutes that those students were receiving based on a proportion of what general education students were receiving. And so as we were learning more about those, that position and representing those children that I had just described, our speculation was that many more students were likely being impacted by the district's position, and that's what prompted our involvement in the organizational state complaint we filed. And okay. Specifically, I wanted to talk just a little bit about some of the specific facts. So one of the students that we were representing was a 13-year-old boy a 13-year-old Navajo boy who had been determined eligible for special education services as having an emotional disturbance as well as an other health impairment. He did have an IEP in place at the time that the school district had closed its doors that second week of March or so. At an IEP meeting in both April and May of 2020, our law center had attended an IEP team meeting to discuss the reduction of his special education services. And what we learned was that the district was doing this across the board. What they were saying is that they were, quote unquote, adjusting the times temporarily, but they rejected our proposal to create an individualized learning plan. Instead, the district took the position that they were going to reduce all of the service minutes based, again, on this proportion calculation that they were doing in relation to general education students. Even though we, as the student's guardian ad litem, the child social worker, as well as the child's foster parent, had objected to that reduction in service because it was not based on an individualized determination of what the student actually needed. There was actually no conversation about what the student's individualized need was, which, of course, is the heart of IDEA. It is an individualized determination based on every student's unique needs, and that was not happening here. Similarly, we had concerns about a 3-year-old girl, a Navajo girl that we were representing, who also was eligible to receive special education services as a student with an other health impairment. She was in a pre-kindergarten classroom in the district's early childhood center, and like the other student I just described, her special education and related services were also reduced at an April 20th, 2020 IEP meeting, not based on individualized determination, but again, based on the district's unilateral policy that they were reducing student service, special education, and related service minutes. And lastly, we were concerned that the school district had not they were not affirmatively reaching out to students with disabilities and their families to schedule IEP meetings to review student progress and to determine if that student was going to require compensatory education. I know some jurisdictions call them recovery services to address any deprivation of FAPE that may have resulted from the spring 2020 school closure. So in addition to the two students we just discussed, we were representing a third student who is a 9-year-old Navajo boy, also eligible to receive special education services as a student with a specific learning disability. And his mother, an educational decision maker, had never been contacted by the school district to determine how her son was doing. Did he have additional need resultant from the public school closures? If he did, what data was going to be collected to address that? What progress reports were available, and she was not offered an opportunity to have a meeting with the school to discuss what compensatory education he would have been entitled to make up what he didn't get. And again, we were concerned that because the district's position was that it was doing this for all students, we became concerned that it wasn't just the three students that we were representing who were being impacted. It was all of the students in the district. We were further concerned that the district's policies were being made in contravention to the available U.S. Department of Education and New Mexico Public Education Department guidance that had been issued regarding the specific rights of students with disabilities during the school closure. And as a reminder, there was no waiver of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act in place at the time. So all student rights and procedural safeguards remained intact during the public school closures. And just as a reminder, there still to date has never been a waiver of any IDEA requirement as we're all continuing to navigate the COVID-related school closures and online learning and the different platforms in which we're providing students education. So all students with disabilities rights and their parents' rights and procedural safeguards remain intact sitting here today. We had been trying to address these issues informally beginning in March of 2020 and continuing through the beginning of the 2020-2021 school year unsuccessfully. As I mentioned, we were attending IEP meetings on behalf of these students. We were having follow-up email conversations, attempting to document our concerns in the prior written notice. But we were not having much success in resolving the issues at the lowest possible level. And so, and that is our typical practice at the Law Center. We do try to address issues, at the lowest level possible first, typically through IEP meetings, writing letters, communicating student needs and parent requests, but we weren't getting anywhere. And so, again, the IDEA specifically allows organizations to file state complaints. Sometimes they're called organizational state complaints or systemic state complaints. But it is something, as we were considering our clients' legal options, we, of course, were wanting to ensure that all of the students who were potentially impacted by the district's policies were, that their rights were going to be adjudicated as well. So we ultimately filed the complaint on October 5th of 2020, alleging that the Bloomfield School District had violated the rights of students with disabilities by, one, impermissibly and unilaterally reducing the special education and related service minutes in the students' IEPs in light of the COVID-19 public health emergency. Two, that the district had failed to schedule IEP meetings to discuss how the district planned to assess individual student progress or lack thereof, or decline in skills and determine if the student required recovery services to address any deprivation of FAPE that resulted from the lack of services that the student received during the spring 2020 school closure. And third, we allege that the district had violated the IDEA because it was not providing compensatory education services to students or really talking with families about their right to have conversations about whether recovery services or comp ed services were appropriate. So again, that's what led to our filing of the organizational state complaint. Is we just really wanted to make sure that the district was complying with all of the requirements of the IDEA during the COVID-19 public health emergency.
Oh, so thanks. And in fact, as noted in the investigation report, this district has 489 students with IEPs. So you were quite correct in filing a complaint on behalf of all of those students, since everything you were discovering clearly was, a systemic practice that was being carried out by the district. So, you know, here again, we, as I said at the top, our focus of IDEA State complaints is to use them to address systemic violations of IDEA. And the other, as you noted, the other beauty of the state complaint process versus mediation or due process is that a state complaint can be filed by anyone on behalf of a student or a group of students in a district if they feel their IDEA rights are being violated. And you don't even have to be you don't even have to reside in the state. So you know, I could file complaints for kids in Maine, for, you know, if I felt there was a reason to do that. And as I noted before, we have several complaints on the website that have been filed by PNAs in several states across the country. So so the remedies that you proposed in the complaint included, and to make the point, but state complaints need to include remedies that you are requesting, okay? That doesn't mean that the investigator is going to necessarily follow them, but the requirements of a state complaint include that you propose, the complainant propose remedies. So your remedies were, first of all, that the district review the students' IEPs in consideration of the need for compensatory services, that the district mail information about students' IEP rights to all parents, including right to a meeting to discuss need for compensatory services, and to train its staff on the requirements of IDEA and how to meet the needs of students with disabilities during COVID-19. So can you tell us, how did the New Mexico Department of Education go about investigating your complaint?
Thanks, Candace. So New Mexico is unique. It's one of just a handful of jurisdictions that actually appoints a true independent investigator for its state complaints. And what I mean by that is our investigator does not work for the New Mexico Public Education Department. So she is truly an independent investigator in the sense that she does not work for the state educational agency that's responsible for investigating state complaints that are made either against a local educational agency like here, the Bloomfield School District, or even the SEA itself, which would be the New Mexico Public Education Department. And also, in addition to everything you just stated about the importance of filing organizational state complaints, just a reminder for our listeners that you can also file state complaints against your SEA if your facts, you know, warrant that, and that's a strategy available to parties as well. So here, our investigator actually was located out of state. She didn't even live in the state of New Mexico. And this allowed for a truly neutral investigation of all of the claims. And again, I do think that this is relatively unique to us here in New Mexico to use truly independent investigators, because not all jurisdictions follow this practice. I will just note, as I mentioned, a lot of the special education work that the Law Center does is against the Bureau of Indian Education, which is only one of two federally run school systems in the country. The other is the Federal Department of Defense school system. But given our location and the fact that we serve Native American students with disabilities, we do a lot of work in the BIE system as well. The majority of Bureau of Indian Education schools are actually located here on the Navajo Nation, which shares borders with Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico, and the BIE also uses a independent contractor to investigate its state complaint decisions, and so that's just something I wanted to point out. It's also really important for folks to know that you can always ask that an independent, regardless of what jurisdiction you are in or you know, what school district or state you practice in or advocating for students and families in, you can always request an independent investigator be appointed to investigate your complaint Now, your jurisdiction might not always grant that request, but it is something that you can certainly ask. And I will say that the IDEA regulations certainly contemplate an independent investigation and an independent determination of whether there are violations of IDEA. And so the regs pretty clearly contemplate that these complaint investigations should be independent. So just 2 points there, that our investigator was not an employee of the New Mexico Public Education Department, and second, that it always remains an option for folks to request an independent investigator be appointed to investigate a complaint. In Arizona, to contrast that, another state that we do quite a bit of special education work, their investigators do work for the Arizona Department of Education, which is something I think most jurisdictions do. So it's just an interesting contrast between New Mexico, Arizona, and then the Bureau of Indian Education, which has schools in both of those states as well as many other around the country. So back to our complaint here in Bloomfield. To address the system-wide complaint, our investigator did a number of things. One of the things that she did that was pretty unique was doing a random sampling of IEPs. And I'll talk about that in just a minute. Some of the ways that she went about conducting her investigation were pretty typical. Of course, she reviewed our complaint and the documents that we were able to provide her, which included the IEPs for the three students whose documents we had. She also reviewed the district's responses to our allegations and then made additional requests of the school district as she saw fit. She had phone calls and emails with our law firm to clarify, if she had questions or, was seeking clarification. We had that communication. She also interviewed school district personnel, reviewed the New Mexico Public Education Department COVID-related guidance, and reviewed the district's compliance with the federal IDEA regulations and our state administrative rules, as well as looking at other legal authority. So all of that is pretty, I think, standard practice. What I think is unique here is she also chose to pull a random sample of students. And what that means is of the 489 students that the district identified as students with disabilities eligible to receive special education services, she looked at 30 of those students' files across disability eligibility, and all ages were reviewed. So at least one student from each grade, pre-kindergarten through the 12th grade, in all 13 eligibility categories under the IDEA were pulled. And this is really a powerful and important investigatory tool because it allows for a broad sampling to suggest what is happening across a spectrum. And I think, of course, I can't speak for the investigator, but I think it allowed her to get a sense of what the school district was doing rather than focusing on just one or two students, which can often easily be passed off as a one-off or not emblematic of a larger problem, which sometimes we see when you focus a state complaint on just one student, while you might get a great result for that one student, oftentimes it can be easy for a school district to say, well, it was just that one student and you filed your complaint and got your remedy, so there you go. And this was a nice tool because it allowed her to really look at what the school district was doing in real time. Again, 30 students across every disability eligibility category in all 13 grades, which really allowed her to make the 53 specific findings that she did that led to the ultimate conclusion that the school district had violated the IDEA. So all three of our allegations that we had made, the school district was determined to be in violation of and they were cited for. One thing I did want to mention really quickly, so here in the Bloomfield School District, this school district serves a pretty diverse group of students. And I just wanted to share some data points. According to the U.S. Department of Education's Civil Rights Data Collection from 2017, which is the most recent reporting year we have, 36% of the entire enrolled student body in the Bloomfield School District is identified as Native American. And 16.7% of those students are currently being, were served under the IDEA. And 21.8% of students with disabilities are Native American. And so it's a little under a quarter of the 489 students that were identified in this specific complaint, a little under a quarter of them are identified as Native American students with disabilities. So I just wanted to mention that briefly, Candace.
Yeah, and thanks for mentioning the Civil Rights Data Collection. We're a big fan of Civil Rights Data Collection here in Washington, and have done a lot of advocacy around, you know, efforts to keep it robust. They've tried recently to, you know, narrow some of the fields, and so we've been objecting to that. Hopefully, we can keep it as robust as it has been, and it's because it's a wonderful resource for that, this kind of information. So, and thanks for the explanation of the sampling technique, and I certainly agree with you that it is a methodology that that clearly should be used. And I would even say that, you know, just as we talk about, you can, when you file a complaint, you could always ask for an independent investigator if you wanted to, and you could certainly always suggest, if you're making a systemic claim, you could always suggest sampling as an investigative tool. You know, there's nothing to stop people from doing that. The other thing that I wanted to highlight about your complaint document was that you put in the document that you were bypassing or turning down the use of mediation, and that's a nice thing to do if that in fact is the way you feel, because otherwise what's going to happen is the first thing they're going to do is come back and offer you mediation. So if you just want to short circuit that, then you can, as you did, just state it in your complaint document that you have no interest in mediation, and you can get things moving along faster. So, were there any aspects of the investigation report that you, or the corrective action that disappointed your agency, Alessis?
Not at all. In fact, we're actually very pleased with this outcome because of the far-reaching impact that it's going to have on students beyond just the three that we were, of course, you know, whose rights we were seeking to enforce and protect. But, you know, also I think what was really important with this outcome was that even though COVID-19 has changed the landscape of how education is being provided, sometimes on a daily or weekly basis, what this decision really signaled was that school districts must continue to meet the needs of students with disabilities. And I think that was an important decision, and we're very pleased with the New Mexico Public Education Department in really ensuring that its LEAs, and here the Bloomfield School District, was cited for not complying with IDEA at a time when students with disabilities needed those protections the most. So we're overjoyed, frankly, that the New Mexico Public Education Department took this complaint seriously and did such a thorough job of not only investigating the concerns, but also ensuring that the remedy was available to all of the students impacted by the district's violations of the law. Because it could have been the case that, you know, our investigator did a sampling to better understand what was happening, but she could have limited the remedy to the three students named, but they didn't do that here. They really went, they really took that extraordinary step of not only investigating and determining that the district had violated the IDEA by unilaterally reducing special education and related services not based on individual need, not holding IEP meetings to determine student progress and whether compensatory education was necessary, and then also that those procedural violations resulted in a substantive deprivation of FAPE. And so for all 489 of those students, regardless of ethnicity or racial identity, regardless of age, regardless of disability eligibility, all of those students are able to avail themselves of this remedy. That's really a tremendous outcome, and we're very, very pleased.
Yes, and I can only echo your happiness with the outcome, and I would strongly encourage our listeners to read through the investigation report because it is beautifully done, so thorough, and so balanced, and it's really quite a nice model that folks should use as an exemplar of what an investigation report should look like. Do you have any other plans for further complaints in the region that you serve?
So the systemic state complaints are always something that we at the Law Center consider when we're assessing the legal issues and options to meet the needs of our client community. As we began our conversation, the organizational state complaint is a very powerful tool, and I appreciated your comments and reminder about how you do not need to be an attorney to file these. You do not need to be an advocate. You don't even have to live in the state in which, the legal issue is arising. Anybody can file one of these if you have concerns. We've actually seen in our advocacy history related service providers file complaints under, pseudonym because they see violations of IDEA in their own schools. Again, just to really reiterate that these are very powerful tools that really anybody can file on behalf of a student or a group of students. And again, we've been really successful with these types of complaints over the years in both the public and the BIE school systems. Right now, like many of the PNAs across the country and other legal aid organizations and folks who provide special education advocacy, we are concerned about low intake numbers. We're not getting a lot of calls from families right now, just because I think with the ongoing nature of this pandemic and, again, how the landscape of educational service delivery changes, sometimes day to day, certainly week to week. Right now, our law firm is focusing on outreach efforts because we want to really try to understand what's happening for our client communities, how we can best reach them, and how we can best serve them. As you know, and I'm sure your listeners know, Indian Country has been particularly hard hit by COVID-19.
Yeah.
And here, we serve the Navajo Nation, the Hopi community in Arizona, the Pueblo communities in New Mexico. I have clients who are members of the Havasupai tribe at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. Things have been very, very difficult for our clients and their communities. And so right now we're working on reaching our families through advertising in regional newspapers. We're doing Navajo and English radio ads. We're using our social media as best we can to try to reach families. So that's where our efforts are right now. We don't have anything currently in the hopper, so to speak, but it is a tool that we are always considering because it's such a way to address systemic issues. And my speculation is that we're going to continue to see systemic issues related to COVID-19 in ways that we haven't maybe seen before for students with disabilities.
Yes, I agree with you on that. And so that's great that you're doing the outreach, because we will remind people also that there is a statute of limitations on, you know, how long you can go filing a state complaint. So you have to allege, you know, a relatively recent violation. So we don't necessarily want to, just sit on our hands and see what happens and then run out of time, you know, to file a complaint. So thank you so much, Alexis. I will remind our listeners that both your complaint and the state's investigation report are available on our State Complaint Resource Center. We'll put them prominently on the homepage for a period of time, as well as a link to this podcast. And again, thank you so much for everything you do and for being with us today.
Kenneth, thank you so much. It was my honor and pleasure, frankly, to have this conversation. And I encourage your listeners to check out our webpage again at nativedisabilitylaw.org if you're interested in learning more about our work or have specific questions related to the unique needs and rights of Native American students with disabilities. Thank you, Candace. I appreciate your time.